Welcome to Hockey Night in Scotland. Here's the whistle. Edinburgh, blocked by Aberdeen. McFinnigan to McDougall, to the other McDougall, to the other McDougall. Hold the phone, the McDougalls have gotten into a rammy. And he's been kilted, McDougall's been kilted. And the ice looks a wee bit cold.
Some things just make more sense in Canada. Like a Subaru with symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive.
Knocking your teeth loose with the best hockey coverage possible. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is a Wednesday. It's Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey coming up tonight. One of three games in the National Hockey League, Colorado and Edmonton. Will spend a significant portion of that time also teeing up Calgary at home to Dallas, which will start on Sportsnet 1 this evening. Playoff implications on that one. And Chicago and Philadelphia, one of the three games in the NHL tonight, coming off an evening in which there was more jostling in the playoff picture. Welcome to Hockey Central at Noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. In just a bit, Derek Dorsett from the victorious Vancouver Canucks, who stormed back with five straight goals to beat the Winnipeg Jets at home last night. And Vancouver hits the 90-point barrier with nine games to go. So it looks like Vancouver is in. And later on, Brad Fritch, don't know him from hockey, but the world of golf, part of the web.com tour, also carries the Ottawa Senator logo on his bag. So curious what he thinks of this latest rally by the Ottawa Senators. When do you, because there's these playoff races underway, when do you go from looking at just who's going to get in to potential matchups?
I would believe that it's already happening if you're one of the teams that is already looking forward to a playoff spot. Would you not, Mac, be in a position now to have your coaching staff or your some of your head scouts already looking at two or three potential matchups and starting to do the research on it?
Yeah, you would start. I mean, once you know where you're going to slot in pretty well. Really, but that's the problem.
But there could be a couple of different scenarios.
Like the Central is a mess, and then you've got the wild card race, which is totally jumbled, and the Atlantic and the Metropolitan.
What you typically do is when you get it down to two teams, mm-hmm. then you would send your staff to watch a couple of teams. You know, if there's a pretty good chance it's one or the other, then you cover both teams and you send your pro scouts and you have a look at them and you start. But so many are doing it on video now too. So you're just starting your preparation.
You've already got files on every team. Mm-hmm. Some are thicker than others, but the legwork's already there.
But they do it video-wise and in person. I mean, they always want to have somebody in person watch these teams, too, for their playoff prep. So it's so jumbled.
Well, yeah. You know? Montreal could face, four different teams right now?
That's the problem. So you wait and you're hoping, you know, then you're you know of those four who you really want to face. That's the other intriguing thing. You say, well, we really match up a lot better with that group and these guys are injured, and you know, so you're starting to go from the playoff getting in to now. I'd like to fine tune.
So
who
much
play.
Can change in the next 10 games. Injuries, of course, somebody's going to lose a key guy here in the next 10 games. It's the odds,
yeah,
and how that changes the dynamic. Who's in? Who's hot at the time? Who's not?
Winnipeg is one of those teams that you don't want to face in the first round because they're big. LA is another team where everybody in the West is hoping they don't make it because of how dangerous they are. Yet Vancouver, a team that I wouldn't put in the same physical category as a Winnipeg or LA, has just beat both the Kings and the Jets but with impressive wins.
What I would look at versus the bigness of the Jets, I think the number one thing you look at when you're looking at matchups is the goaltending. And I say, okay, Winnipeg, yeah, Pavlik's been real good, goes 5-0. Hutchison's had a good year, but I still say you look at the goaltending as the number one thing of who you want to match up with.
And that's the one thing I think the Jets have.
It's a question mark still.
The great unknown here. And were you one that said, why is Hutchison going in last night?
You know, he's played so well this year, that and the way Winnipeg has handled their goaltending, we've questioned them from the time that they picked up Budaj and sent him to the minors, and it's worked out
so
for them.
Paul Maurice,
I give Paul Maurice a pass on that.
Paul Maurice.
And they didn't lose because of Hutchinson last night.
Paul Maurice goes with the thought that I don't want to wear down Pavlik, right? And so he protects him a little bit. But the only the only reason he doesn't get that start still is because they're not completely sold on Pavlik. And they have the body of work in the last 5 games isn't enough, or 10 games, and the next 10 games wouldn't be enough. They need to have both guys feeling pretty good about their games going in, because they cannot just ride out Pavlik from here on in and leave Hutchinson on the bench here going into a playoff scenario.
I think the odds of seeing both Hutchinson and Pavlik in the first round are very good.
There is a lack of trust right now completely as the number one guy.
Right, and that's why when I'm looking at matchups, and I know people are saying they're a little nervous of playing Winnipeg. I get it. They're a big strong. They got a good blue line, a better blue line than they've had. You know, some of the kids are taking except Myers' addition, but I still think because of their goaltending, I wouldn't mind playing them.
You know, Paul Maurice, he's probably thinking back to 2002 in this scenario, in which he juggled his goaltending all the way to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. And who was that? Kevin Weeks and...
And Urbe, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So, very, very similar, where you've got a young guy, you've got a veteran.
But in a perfect world, you'd love to be Laviolette have Cam Ward.
Yeah.
So... But you know, typically you don't. Yeah. It runs its course.
But of all the teams in the playoffs, how many have questionable goaltending? You know, when you really look at it.
Okay, you want to go down the list?
You'd have to
St. Louis.
Yes. Detroit.
Okay, I'll just go down this. Right. Nashville, no. Chicago, no. Anaheim.
Yes.
Vancouver.
Yes.
Well,
Calgary.
No.
Don't think Ryan Miller is going to be ready.
Minnesota, no. Winnipeg, yeah. LA, no. So there's that's just the West.
Right.
Montreal?
No.
Rangers?
No.
Really?
No.
No, Lundqvist will be ready.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just he hasn't played in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
He's a slow starter too every time he comes off a start of the season. Tampa? No.
How can you say no for Tampa?
Benton Bishop?
He hasn't done it yet.
I'm just saying unproven that time of year.
Hasn't done it yet. Yeah, that's fair.
That's Detroit? Fair.
Yes. I'd be concerned about Detroit's gold. I mean, look, it hasn't.
Islanders?
Yes, I'd be concerned.
Pittsburgh?
You got to have a little. I'm concerned about them as a playoff team.
Washington? Ottawa? Everybody. Yeah. There's half the teams that have question marks in goal.
But I would rather play one of the ones that have question marks. I know that. Versus one of the ones that don't.
Question marks, unproven. That's okay, a lot.
There's a difference there.
Pekka Rinne.
I would say there's a difference.
Because if you're going to say unproven, then Minnesota has a question mark.
And Pekka Rinne. I mean, Pekka Rinne has been unbelievable. You love Pekka Rinne, but Pekka Rinne hasn't won in the playoffs. So that's going to be an interesting situation with them. I mean, what about like Ribeiro? What's he got? 3 goals in his last 30 games?
Nice play on the overtime goal.
Yeah. But he's been like a bit of a no-show lately. So, you know, there's some question marks with lots of teams. So it makes for a great playoff first round as usual, you know.
There's very few guys who have won the Stanley Cup as a starter in the league right now.
Right. Right.
5.
And one of them may not get in the playoffs. He's fighting for his life right now.
I don't know if it's just...
Well, and the other one is Niemi, who's not going to make it.
No.
Like, is that just the trend of goaltending now? That you're going to see less and less guys like maybe Carey Price who are just locked in?
Well, it wasn't 2 years ago.
With a salary cap, do you ever have to go to a $40 or $50 million contract on one guy anymore? Or do you just hope that you can find these... Hamburglers and the Eddie Lacks of the world and all of them.
I'm imagining a scouting meeting going into the draft, and the GM looks around his room, his head scout, his assistant general manager says, "We need a Hamburglar."
Exactly.
Somebody find me a Hamburglar.
I'll tell you what they're saying is, don't bring me a guy under 6'2". That's what I know that they're saying from here on in. These goalies now, it's – 6'3", 6'4", post-to-post, no problems. Great lateral movement of a guy 5'10", 5'11". You're not seeing 6-foot goalies anymore. And there's a lot of people that sit there and go, Jonathan Bernier.
Darren Pang's not buying
Jonathan
that.
Bernier's problem right now is he's too small.
Panger's not buying that.
Panger needed to buy it 25 years ago.
You know, right now, of the teams that are in a playoff position, there's two guys that have won the Stanley Cup as a starting goaltender. Two teams have that guy. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. The cycle that we've gone through right now, the transition. I started this conversation trying to compliment the Vancouver Canucks because of what they've been able to do against LA and Winnipeg. In the last couple of games.
And what, you know, you also have to say what they've been able to do without their number one goaltender and without three of their top four defensemen for
They're
a stretch.
They're getting healthy now.
You know, with Edler out, I mean, Tanev out, Edler out, BX out, Hamhuis out. I mean,
They're back now. They
had four of their guys out for extended periods of time in the back end. So they've been, you know, they've been pretty good.
But where do they rate as a team that could have a run
Vancouver?
In the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I don't see them having a run. I don't see them having a run.
I can see them winning a round or two.
Yeah, but not a run.
Well, that's a pretty good run.
A round isn't a run.
No, I said two.
Oh, two.
I said two.
Then two were into a run.
If they got
into a jog.
You'd be shocked to see them in a conference final in today's day and age with the salary cap what it is and only having four core guys, you know, on each team. One guy goes down, another team gets hot. Come on, this is the era now that we will never, and I get the fact that LA's won a couple now and Chicago and all of that, but it's never been wide open, more wide open.
Well, you look, this time last year we're saying how strong the West was, that the East don't have a chance against the West. Now all of a sudden you're saying, okay, Chicago, Kane, not there. St. Louis haven't been able to get it done. Anaheim's got some question marks. L.A. may not get in. All of a sudden, there's some real questions about the West. And a year ago, we were saying it was, you know, not even close.
Yeah, I thought there was significant separation between L.A. and the New York Rangers.
Big time.
In that Stanley Cup final.
Totally there was.
And now?
Although, what was there, four overtime games?
Yeah.
But it was still.
There's also overtime games.
You never felt it.
And one goal games in Tampa and Montreal.
You never felt the Rangers were going to win.
Now you put them on the same. And LA came up with a great effort last night. But I like
closer.
The Rangers game. Yeah.
It's a lot closer. And there's some teams in the East that could win the cup. We wouldn't have said that a year ago. We wouldn't have said it.
Guys have stepped up, though.
You know, do you want to play
with
Tampa
the Rangers? Bay? Like Hayes.
Could you?
Miller.
I know. JT Miller steps up and plays on that second line with St. Louis out.
Tell me this. Great play on Zuccarello's goal. And now you're sitting there going, okay, they're developing their players.
Who do you want to play first? Pittsburgh or Tampa? Who would you pick as a first-round matchup?
Yeah, I'd like to see the week going into the first round.
It's a tough call, though, isn't it? You got Stamkos.
They're big and fast, Tampa.
Callahan, and you've got Hedman, who's become a top guy. I mean, Coburn will be back.
You see Callahan's goal last night, game winner. Like, just that one sunk Florida,
which is devastating. Devastating for the Panthers.
But what a gritty effort by Callahan on that game winning goal,
and by Stamkos on his goal.
Luongo should have had it, by the way, but that's okay.
You haven't told me who you'd take. Who do you want to play in the first round? Pittsburgh with their star power or Tampa? Yeah.
Flip a coin, Mac.
It's a tough call, isn't it?
Pittsburgh right now slotted against the New York Islanders.
Yeah. Who are you picking between Pittsburgh and the Islanders to win that round?
I would take Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I would take Pittsburgh, but it's close. It could go either way.
Something romantic about the New York Islanders this spring, though.
And you look at their four defensemen. Their top four defensemen are pretty darn good. The goaltending matchup, who would you go with there?
Crazy story on Nick Leddy today in the papers about Twitter stalker.
So the point I'm saying
is, got out of hand. Law enforcement's involved, so.
Well, licenses positive. And credit cards.
Terrible
joke.
Twitter pledged, it's got to be 3-4 weeks ago, those in charge to really clamp down on. I mean, this incident takes it to an extreme, but just on the hatred on Twitter, they pledged to put more emphasis on policing it.
I know how much that would help you out, Mac.
I don't seem to get any.
And you, Darren.
So Tampa Bay against Detroit would be a first round matchup right now.
Who are you picking there?
Well, Detroit's
Detroit's on a skid right now.
And you got and then you got the whole Stevie Y Detroit intrigue. That would be a great matchup. And that one looks like it's there, doesn't it? Doesn't that one look like it's almost locked in?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a matchup, you know, that you can expect.
Well, not really, because Tampa Bay can still finish first in the conference. They're a point behind Montreal.
Right. What about who have you got Pittsburgh matching up with today?
The Islanders.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And Montreal would face Ottawa.
Wow. That would be a great series, too.
So,
I mean, really, the first round at least for Sportsnet is going to be so amazing.
A Canadian team advancing to the second round, that's something we probably didn't see. Crystal clear in October. Wow. Calgary, Vancouver.
Yeah, is that what you want? Yeah, it guarantees you a Canadian team in the
but
both conference.
You know, with the way the NHL has gone, with how tight it is and how close it is, now you're even starting to get excited about playoff matchups, where in the past you wouldn't have been even thinking about it. But now it's so close and so tight. Well, and pressure on coaches and GMs like never before.
Well, Willie talks to himself. He's always mumbling back there, Willie Desjardins. Here's Derek Dorsett from the Vancouver Canucks.
Can't blame him.
Hey, Derek, thanks for joining us. Darren Millard along with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. You ever listen to what Willie's mumbling back there?
I think I'm just used to it now. I had him in junior there for a while.
That's right.
Was he a mumbler in junior?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He gets intense behind the bench, and he's always rocking back and forth.
Can you make out what he's saying? Because the frustrating part for me was always when you're like, I thought I heard something, but I'm not sure.
And the mustache throws you off, too.
Lots of times I don't even think he's saying anything. I think he's just just mouthing things out.
So how was he when you went down 2-0 last night?
All right, good. You know, we got a call from a bunch of guys in this room, and a lot of guys that, you know, we've played some catch-up hockey a few times this year. So, I mean, it's one of those things that we just kind of stick with it and keep carrying on and keep playing the way that we planned the game plan around and make sure that we keep putting pressure on them, and that's what we did.
No. Most people in the league don't know that you travel with an entourage in a lot of your games. And we were fortunate enough to run into them last year in the playoffs. Your group from, I think it's this...
Kindersley,
who hang there and travel with you. Are they happy with your year so far? And there's rumors that you're looking for Clarkson money this summer.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm looking for that kind of money, but... Yeah, you know what? I get a lot of support from family and friends from back home. Obviously, you know, growing up in a small community and having a pretty big family and a competitive family and you know, a lot of friends that been through a lot together. And they, whenever the playoffs hit, they usually are making their rounds. And during the regular season too, they get out, and it's been a nice thing being in Canada. You know, they get to come out and to Vancouver a little more often and, you know, hit the Calgary Edmonton games too. So it's been great being back out in Canada. They get to watch it live on Hockey Night in Canada a lot.
Darren Millard along with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean chatting with Derek Dorsett of the Vancouver Canucks. You've been around a few goalies in your time. How different is Eddie Lack compared to Ryan Miller or Henrik Lundqvist? He seems to have this affable, un-goalie-like personality.
Yeah, you know, he's a character, that's for sure. He's a guy that comes to the rink happy every day. He's actually the guy that just walked by me and was yelling at me. I don't know if you guys heard that on the other side. But, you know, he's a guy that shows up to the rink every day, works hard. And, you know, it's one of the craziest goalies I've seen is we stand at the top of the circles after every practice and let let one-timers go, and he yells at us to go high, and so he stands right in there. So he's a guy that works hard, and he's competitive, and that's a good mix for a goaltender.
Derek, you've done such a great job of being a great energy guy and a guy that has carved out a great role on the Vancouver Canucks. You've been around now for a few years. How have you seen that role evolve over the last few years? Because we don't see that 6'4" heavyweight anymore at the end of the bench, and it almost puts that much more pressure on guys like you to go out there and not make a mistake, yet push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you know, the game's going in a little bit of a different direction. Who knows if it's going to stay that way? But, you know, obviously, I still firmly believe that there's guys that got to, you know, police and protect, you know, within the rules. And sometimes, you know, players like me, you know, you got to get to that line, but, you know, pull back right before you cross it. And obviously, you're starting to see a lot of teams play a four-line game. And I think here in Vancouver, that's what we've done. So, you know, I think my role is I just try and show up to the rink every day and play hard and stick up for my teammates whenever I feel I have to.
What were you thinking about last week when I was watching you? And I know you're a tough kid. I get that. But what were you thinking about dropping the gloves with John Scott? Were you serious?
Well, you know what? It was kind of
because I thought, don't do that, Doris. Don't do that.
It was kind of funny. It was he kind of looped back and kind of hit me, and I didn't know. He kind of punched me in the back of the head. I didn't really know who was behind me, so I turned around, and it was him, and we kind of got tangled up in front of their bench, and I kind of was pinning him against the wall. And San Jose bench started goading at me, oh, yeah, fight him, and we were down 2-0. And they're like, yeah, fight him, and I kind of looked at their bench and said, you want me to? And I just kind of dropped the gloves. And you know, sometimes you know, when you're going into a fight, you're not really going to win it, but you know,
been there a few times.
You can ever catch him with one on the chin and he goes down, and you look great.
Oh yeah, that's a Hall of Fame moment if you take him down.
Yeah.
One quick question, Bo Horvat, how good is this kid, and how good can he be?
Yeah, you know what, he's great. He comes to the rink every day, and he works hard, and he's a really humble kid. And you know, if I was to walk into the locker room and not know that he was a rookie, I would think he'd played 8 years in the league just the way he carries himself. And you know, he's a kid that wants to learn and ask questions, and like I said, just comes and works hard, and doesn't step too far out of line.
You guys feeling pretty good about where you are right now?
Yeah, you know, I think right now we're obviously, when you win a few games in a row, you get some confidence, and we just got to make sure that we keep doing the things that have got us to this point, and keep moving forward and keep ramping up and try to lock down a playoff spot and get ready for the playoffs.
At what point of the season could you tell the Sedins apart?
You know what? Actually, I figured it out during training camp. Once you get around them a lot, you can figure it out. But I paid close attention to each of them. The first little while, you could tell by the shoes they wore in the gym.
Now, Willie's a buddy of yours. You know, you go way back with Desjardins. So why wouldn't he give you he knows you're in a contract year. He knows you're fighting for a good contract. You've been around a while now. Why wouldn't he pump you up with the Sedins for a few games? Do you ever mention that to him?
I've never mentioned it to him. You know, I just come to the rink every day and play wherever I'm needed. I've had a few shifts and a few periods with him, and obviously they're two great players. So, I just go about my business and play where I'm put.
What's it like playing for a guy in the NHL who you played for a number of years in junior?
Oh, it's great. I mean, obviously, anytime you can go to a team and have someone that you've won a championship with and you're very familiar with, it makes the situation a lot easier. you know, coming in and to a team where I, you know, didn't know any players or anything coming in on a summer trade. So obviously, you know, he knows what I can bring, and I, you know, obviously it's a good fit.
You have more rope? Do you think you have more rope with somebody you know like that?
I don't think so. I think it's, you know, it's one of those things where we're both professionals, and we know we'll do whatever it takes for the team to win. And, you know, if I'm stepping out of the line, he lets me know. And but that's the way it should be.
Does Tanev owe you a meal and the rest of the team on his new ticket?
Oh, I think Tanev will treat the boys to a nice dinner for sure. He's a great guy, and he's a guy that deserved a deal like that. So it's good to see them get him locked up for that long time.
Well, hopefully you're next.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully.
Congratulations, and say hi to everybody in Kindersley for us as well. They were a fun group to hang out with.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, good luck, bud.
Yeah.
Derek Dorsett of the Vancouver Canucks, 90 points with 9 games to go in that playoff race in both the Pacific and the Western Conference.
Yeah, Horvat's been an interesting guy. You know, Derek has been a real important player for them. It was a great pickup with the way he played for the Rangers. He's a heart and soul kid. I think he's really helped Cassian's game, and I think he's a perfect guy to be with a kid like Bo Horvat. And I mean, but Bo Horvat, you know, Mike Gillis made that deal for Schneider. It was a tough deal, but Bo Horvat looks like he could be one of those real glue guys for a franchise that they've desperately needed.
Yeah.
I think after the Sedins, he fits in.
And a game that could be really tailored to the playoffs.
Right.
And seven-game series.
To me, he becomes a perfect
key face-off guy.
Number two centerman down the road. A perfect number two centerman.
And it's not like you're bringing him in from elsewhere as a free agent.
Right.
You know what you got.
And
he
look,
knows what he's comfortable with, Willie.
You know, people compare him to Bergeron in Boston. Can he become that type of guy? And I think that's a great comparison.
When we continue, the lines between professional golf and the National Hockey League become blurred. We'll explain that one. Plus, the Hockey Central 3 stars on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet.ca, and the NHL Network in the United States.
Hi, it's Pat Finelli from Pizza Pizza. Right now, get 2 medium pizzas with 4 toppings combined, 2 free dipping sauces, and 6 free Coke, all for only $18.99. Perfect for game night, a school night, or the office lunch. And ordering just got a whole lot easier. You can order from our award-winning mobile apps and even win more food. Click and pick Pizza Pizza today.
9-6-7-11-11-PIZZA-PIZZA. 9-6-7-11-11. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon continues. Professional golf, professional hockey coming up in just a moment. We'll get into that conversation and the rise to fame of the Hamburglar and the Ottawa Senator story. Darren Millard here at the HG studio, along with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. You know, a team that's trying to track down the Nashville Predators is the Chicago Blackhawks. We've been focused on that. But over their shoulder, Chicago's only 3 points ahead of the Minnesota Wild now.
I know.
Minnesota...
It's been amazing.
It's challenging for a top three seed in the Central.
And then you see a guy like Parise, the goal he scored last night. You know, the heart and soul type of play he makes to score his 29th goal of the season.
And then the shootout. Did you see the shootout?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got to be some hockey gods looking at you, too.
Yeah, I know.
Nice bounce.
But, I mean, they were, you know, but listen, until they got a point there, that was a game that would have put them right back in the mix with the Winnipegs and Vancouver's fighting for their lives, mm-hmm. right? There was 5 teams. And then with them getting that, you know, tie it up in the third and then to win and shoot out or whatever, it gives them a little breathing space.
5 points.
Yeah.
5 points with 8 to go. And they're now officially looking ahead instead of looking behind them. Time for the Hockey Central 3 stars. You mentioned it earlier, the Tampa Bay Lightning and that race for first overall in the Eastern Conference right now, first in the Atlantic Division. They come up with a big performance last night, and I'm going with Ryan Callahan, who steps up, big player, right time, and makes his presence felt as the the Tampa Bay Lightning pretty much ended the hopes of the Florida Panthers.
It's a good pick, Darren.
Thank you.
Good
99
pick.
Points. They are 1 point behind Montreal for the conference lead. Dagger in the Panthers. Kippy.
I will go with Radim Verbata.
He's always been a favorite of yours. He's always been a favorite of
yours. Not really. Not really. But I will give him full marks. 3 points last night. His 28th goal of the season was the game winner. And it was a pretty good move on Hutchinson.
Was he the best free agent signing of the summer?
How can he not be? He's got, what, 60, almost 60 points?
And has not been with
30-goal score coming up?
And hasn't been with the Sedins.
Yeah, they split that up.
Split him up, and he's done a real good job getting Bonino and those guys going.
He is a threat every time.
He bought them time in the first third of the season.
Big time. He's got so much poise, too, with the puck.
John Garrett
said, no panic in him.
John Garrett said he gets the puck to the net all the time, and if it doesn't go in, you get a rebound off his release.
Love the way you guys jump in on my star.
Oh, he always does
always,
that.
You've
got to back
always.
It up. I'm trying to back it up because people will be shaking their heads at some of your selections. So I'm trying to back it up so the people will say, well, Kiprios isn't off base maybe
you
after all.
You know why
all.
He jumps in? Because he's trying to drag it out long
he just
enough.
Just can't shut his mouth up
because I know the players.
10 seconds. That's
guys,
why.
And he's trying to remember who he picked.
Because you guys just go off who were the three stars last night. You check the websites and I put research into it.
Yeah,
you
remember?
Into it.
Who, right. who did you take? Doug?
While you
look at it,
he's trying to remember.
I picked the
at Opus.
I picked the guy that Wayne Gretzky said last year at the end of the season was the third best player in the National Hockey League. Who was that? It wasn't Taves. It wasn't Crosby. It was Kopitar.
But they're first and second.
Wayne now. Yeah.
He mentions the guys that are first and second.
And Wayne now is saying.
He's putting them down.
Wayne saying, I'd like to have that back. I'd like to maybe have that back, but he still likes Kopitar. Maybe he's not third best, though. He was good last night, really.
You know,
good.
And he's so good with
back up my selection like
right?
I do yours.
And he's so good with Gabrick. Gabrick, yeah. We all thought was done in Columbus. And all Kopitar's done is make him pretty good goal scorer once
again.
You
watched last night, and you wonder why the LA Kings are in the predicament they're in. When Gabrick and Williams and Kopitar can control a game like that,
yeah.
It leaves you puzzled.
Now, why are you guys talking about my guy?
What do you think of
Richards?
Sure
we're trying to back it
and
up.
And his two games since being recalled,
he had one shift last night that was as bad a shift as you could.
Well, they got hemmed
have.
In.
Oh my God, it was. Yeah. I felt for him. Yeah. It was a lot of one hand pokes that he.
You guys
was trying
did a good job of highlighting it too.
You know what? I still think. Look, the guy was humiliated. How many $5 million guys get sent to the Manchester Monarchs in the AHL and never said a word, went down, played, was a good teammate down there. And you know what? I hope it works
for him.
And I think it would
reinvigorate. He'll find his ways to contribute like he did last year.
Right.
And some nights it'll be 10 minutes. Other nights it might be more. But, you know, we talk about proven winners.
Yeah.
This guy is... A proven
I think
winner.
He helps the. I think the group are excited to have him back. Would you know the group? Is that true?
You party with the group.
They want to, but he's got to perform too.
Right, but they'd be excited to see him get a chance, eh?
Right now, the New York Rangers, following that loss, will try to bounce back against the Ottawa Senators tomorrow night. Great story with the Senators, and here's Brad Fritsch. A professional golfer, web.com this year, a little bit on the PGA Tour. So you wear the Ottawa Senator logo. A little easier these days to pump the chest out with that thing on your chest, isn't it?
It certainly is, and we have a guy out here named Ted Brown who's originally from Peterborough. He's a big Leafs fan, and all he does is cower in the corner every day when I walk past him. So it's a good, it's a great feeling. I mean, around Christmas time, it wasn't the best attitude among fans, but man, this run is really it's really pumped up the city. I wish I could be there more often than I am, but it's been great, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
Now, when I was in Columbus, Chris Perry used to have a Blue Jacket logo on his bag, and also Laurie Kane used to use. We gave her a head cover with Stinger on the head cover, but we didn't pay them. Do you get paid for this, or is it you're doing this because you want to do it and you're a real fan?
Because it's all,
or is
about,
it
the,
all about the cash.
It's always about the cash with McLean, Brad.
It's It's a mutually beneficial relationship where nobody has to exchange anything.
So no cash, you get free tickets.
No, I mean, right. Like I go to any games that I want to. And I think for me to be associated with the biggest story in Ottawa all the time, which is the Senators, is great. And, you know, once in a while when I play well, I think it's a good thing for them to hitch their name to mine as well. So it's, like I said, it's mutually beneficial and gotten to know a couple of the players, and it's been a really great experience for me.
How is the chatter over the course of your year, and does it really ramp up this time of year?
In terms of the hockey or the golf?
Yeah, just the NHL and other players that you compete against.
Well, we know Dillette's a big Flames fan.
And just how they're really into the playoff races or the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, some of the guys, you won't know that they're big hockey fans until you get to kind of talk to them maybe over lunch or whatever in the players' lounge. But there's a lot of closet hockey fans out here that don't really make it known, but you know, when the playoffs come around, it does tend to pick up. And you know, the needling, leave something in their locker with the Sens logo on it, something like that, just as a subtle reminder. But stuff like that, it's a lot of fun. And you can talk about anything between shots during a tournament, it's fun. And so I love to get paired with guys who love hockey.
Brad Fritch is with us from web.com and the PGA Tour on Hockey Central with Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean. Go ahead.
I mean, they're not in yet. They're in the playoffs today. I mean, do you think that Boston are going to fold the tent here? Or I mean, a lot of pride in Boston, but Ottawa have played so much better than them. It doesn't look like it's close right now.
I'm sure that's the feeling in the center's locker room, and so I guess that's on the coaching staff to kind of say, you know, that we're so far from done that, yeah, you know, we can't even talk about it. We just have to address each game as it comes. I think the biggest story in all this is that we still have a chance to catch the Washington and Detroit teams. I think when I looked this morning, it was three points back of Washington, one game in hand, one game to play against them, and Detroit, I think it's 5 points and one game to play against them. So I think the more teams that are involved, I mean, the odds increase.
Brad.
You know, we just keep winning. So I think
seriously,
all you can do is take care of yourself.
Brad,
right? And it's such a cliche, hockey and golf.
You we know, don't know those.
You're going to be okay.
We don't know those stats. You should focus more on golf.
Okay, I hit a 299 off the tee. And so I hit about 61% of my fairway.
Brad, well, your style of the way you golf, is it more Carlson or is it more Chris Neal?
I don't think anyone would ever accuse me of playing a Eric Carlson style. I'm not that fast. I tend to be a little bit more on the conservative side. I am getting a little bit older, and I've noticed this the last couple weeks. Guys, you know, 26, 27 years old are ripping it past me now, and I used to be one of the longer guys out here. And it's just not happening that way anymore. So I've had to adjust a little bit, play smarter, and, you know, take advantage when I can of my opportunities. But I would say I'm more of a David Legwand. How about that?
Good.
Nice.
I want just a quick golf question, and I know you may have to run here.
Because he gets advice from 85-year-old men in Florida.
The group I play with every Monday morning at the Boynton Municipal Course in Florida, there's three issues with my game. It's my stance, it's my grip, and it's my shoulder coming through. Of those three problems I have with my game, what would you suggest I work on the most?
Tennis.
I would say probably your stance, but overall the fundamentals. You know, if you are aimed somewhere that you don't think you are aimed, it can't go right.
Mm-hmm.
You okay with that?
I think, you know.
So it's stance.
Every day, get on, you know, for 5 minutes.
Once you come over, you got the golf simulator.
Nice.
Have you got a golf simulator set up in your off season?
No, I live in Raleigh, North Carolina.
You don't need one then.
Typically, it's okay. But the last couple weeks before I left for South America, it was snow and ice on the ground, and chaos was everywhere, so I didn't get a lot of work done.
Brad Fritsch is with us, Canadian professional golfer, web.com and the PGA Tour. Do you call him Andrew Hammond, or do you refer to him as the Hamburglar?
I think I refer to him as Godsend right now. he's just, I mean, I've never seen a guy so calm that's never played an NHL game before. And, you know, looking at his stats from, you know, his college days to AHL this year, I mean, obviously this is out of nowhere. But, man, what a time for it to happen. And I don't know, do you guys talk about what could happen when, you know, Craig Anderson gets healthy, and if they make the playoffs, who starts? I mean, what the heck do you do? I have no idea, and I'm glad I don't have to make that decision.
Looking forward. Hey, who's the one guy that's come up and talked to you about hockey that surprised you the most, that you thought, I didn't even know he had any idea about the National Hockey League?
Man, you know who loves hockey? All the caddies love hockey.
Really?
And that's all they want to talk about is hockey. Yeah, they love hockey. And so I think the biggest guy that I talk to hockey about is Brendan Little. He used to caddy for mm-hmm. Mike Weir, and now he caddies for Camilo Villegas. So I love talking hockey with him. He kind of floats around. He likes the Blues. He likes
he's a front runner.
Montreal, which is a real sticking point. But he's a lot of fun to talk hockey.
Brad, you just asked us, what do you do when Anderson gets healthy? Have you ever changed a hot putter before? Have you ever gone and sunk all these putts and then said, I think I'm going to change my putter? Have you ever done that before?
Only if it was a brand new putter. This is a really good analogy. Only if it's a brand new putter and I go back to Old Faithful.
That is a good analogy, though.
I'm looking at contemplating, you know, as I move into retirement, what do caddies make?
You wouldn't be able to shut up.
Oh, my God. You're complaining every day about your hip.
Yeah.
Throw a golf bag on it.
Don't they have a cart? Don't they use carts?
You'd be yelling at the player. Brad, best of luck this year.
Thanks,
and
Brad.
Hopefully we'll catch up to you at the rink if Ottawa gets in here.
Guys, man, I appreciate it. It's been fun.
Good luck, Brad. You need a hip replacement. How can you be thinking about carrying a golf bag?
I thought they use carts.
On the senior PGA Tour.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, the senior tour, yeah.
Oh, you're going to caddy on the senior tour?
Yeah, sure, why not?
You wouldn't
They
make...
hit from the tees closer, and all, they hit from the
you
red
wouldn't make it
the
out.
Red tees, right?
You wouldn't make it out the hotel bar. You would not make it to the first tee.
Now, I'm glad it's
your
stance.
The
player
cup.
Would be like, driver? Why are you hitting driver?
Hit your cheater.
I hit driver. I couldn't imagine you. And you would here's the big thing with you on the golf course, is you don't necessarily keep score as much as you keep time, and you would be all over your player.
I don't have to keep score because the guys I'm playing with keep it for me.
A good round for you is 4 hours,
please,
or less. That's what your right. goal is. You don't care about breaking 90. You just want to get
Jimmy Clark. I'd go into the clubhouse and I'd sit down for a beer and I'd look at Jimmy Clark and I say, what did I have? He'd say, you were 94.
No, he'd say the two best balls you hit all day was when you stepped on the rake.
Anyway. Anyhow, okay. That was good golf conversation.
So what did you get out of it from your perspective?
Stance.
On your game.
Stance. Stance is my problem, and it is my problem. I feel the way they want me to stand, I feel off balance, and I, but they say just stay with.
You suffer from vertigo, okay?
No, I just feel off balance when I'm swinging.
Okay, so I know we've had this discussion before in the studio, but when it comes to golf, they say you're unbalanced as well?
You guys are on a roll today. Give me shots.
There
I
seems to be to come over. You got to.
You never mentioned once that Dorsett was my draft pick, and I never brought it up. You know, I wasn't going to run with that. I thought I'd leave it to practice
on the simulator. It's got a mulligan butt.
Yeah,
you'll be fine.
I need that. I need the mulligan butt. One around is a rule. You're allowed one around. They say. That's why I've never played in tournaments.
Really? Brad would take that. I'm sure. I'm sure Brad would. Would
be
accept
a lot
that.
Of golfers. I would love that.
I like the when you're playing for a little bit of money with my buddies in Florida, a little bit, you know, I mean a dollar. And they pick it up. If you lose the hole, you're allowed to pick your ball up. And that helps my score, too, I find.
For sure.
You know,
Chicago and Philadelphia tonight. The Blackhawks trying to
helps
keep
score.
That thing going. Dallas and Calgary on Sportsnet 1. That one will be joined in progress after Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, Colorado and Edmonton. Sportsnet Hockey Central. tees you up at 7:30. Thanks to Derek Dorsett and Brad Fritch for joining us. A little different conversation today on Hockey Central. Enjoy your afternoon. We will talk to you again tonight. Sportsnet Central and Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey with Hockey Central.